Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
All right, the weekend is here, and this is it for McDonald's. We are Triple M Footy.
And a very good afternoon at ANZ Stadium today. Beautiful blue sky in the lovely city of Sydney. For all of us, it's our hometown, so we love to get out to ANZ Stadium, watch a game of footy. The Doggies will take on the Sharks this afternoon. The Doggies need to win. They've lost their last four. Lots and lots of talk around the Doggies. There always is. We might get to that a little bit later on. So far this weekend, Tigers have beaten Souths 14-9. Dragons over the Cowboys 22-14. Storm over the Roosters 14-12. Manly, the going good Manly, 30-12 over the Titans. Knights 26, Broncos 12. And they're in all sorts, the Broncos. And then, of course, we've got the Eels 22 over the Raiders 16 after the Raiders led that game 16-0. I've got Paul Kemp with me. I've got James Hooper and Mark Spud Carroll. If you've just joined us, my name is Maroon. And we're going to speak to a guy from the Manly side. We talked about how well they're going this year. He played his 100th game yesterday and scored a couple of tries. Curtis Sirenham, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Hey, happy for you, mate, to achieve that yesterday with your mum and dad at up there at Cbus Super Stadium. It couldn't have gone better for you, Curtis.
Yeah, mate, it was a really proud day. You know, firstly, just to reach 100 games, taking me, you know, a fair few seasons, so I was pretty proud to run out for the 100th, and then, yeah, it was a good game in the end, because it's pretty rare. I scored a couple of tries, so it all sort of worked out well.
Curtis, you've had rotten luck over your career, haven't you? I was looking at it the other day, the injuries you've had to overcome and how every time you seem to get going, another major injury came along and really sort of set you back. So, yeah, it must be a nice moment to finally get through all that.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's only been 1 year when where I've sort of played, you know, over 15 games, you know, in a row. So, well, my goal coming into the year was to firstly play every game. So, touch wood, you know, I'm halfway there and just gaining some confidence in my body again, which is sort of, you know, giving me confidence, you know, running out in the field.
With those injuries, is it, do you look back or somebody spoken to you, is it something that you were doing that sort of put yourself in that position where, you know, some players are a little bit, I would say, reckless. They like the collision and they probably don't protect themselves enough. Was that the case or was it just bad luck each time?
Yeah, mate, I don't know. I think it was a bit of bad luck. I think I might have sort of around 18, 19, when I was in school, I think I might have just played a bit too much footy. I was playing two or three games a week, and that's when I started having a bit of pain in my shoulders. And then, had surgery before I debuted, and then sort of a couple games in, had another shoulder reco, and it was just sort of a string of injuries. Not sure if they're all related or some of them were just sort of freak accidents, but I'm just, I think a lot of it was just being unlucky.
Yeah. And obviously you grew up the son, it always comes up, but I know you grew up the son of a Balmain legend, but moving to Manly, has that actually in some way been a bit of a godsend?
100%, mate. I just sort of came out of, you know, a bit of that shadow there, and I think I matured a lot as well. I was really young at the Tigers, so just being around a different culture there at Manly has just been really good for me. Trent Barrett was really good for me last year, and then Desi coming in, sort of just the discipline that he's brought to the squad, I think it's been really good for me. It was probably something that I needed to tighten up, sort of all the off-field stuff. So, yeah, mate, it's been a godsend sort of making that move.
Yeah, congratulations, Curtis. 100 games, it's a hell of an achievement, and you're the best on ground yesterday, so it's a credit to yourself. You touched on Desi there. How's he simplified your game? What specifically has he told you your role in the side is?
Mate, going into most games, he sort of sits down with all the positional groups. So myself and Joel Thompson, we go into a little meeting with him and the two halves, and we just sort of just put up a few sort of, you know, key indicators of what you want to sort of target, so you want to hit in the game. And then after the game, we're sort of accountable. We go in again, the meeting, and look at the numbers and see where we were. So it changes week to week, but a lot of it's just being involved. And mate, it sort of changes every week, but it's good that sort of accountability has helped me. I've simplify the game, just got to try and get involved and not worrying about anyone else, just trying to do my job as well as I can.
Yeah, Curtis, Spud Carroll, mate, firstly, congratulations on the 100 games. Proud moment for Mum and Dad.
Yeah, Spud, yeah, thanks, mate. It was good having them up there as well. They sort of surprised me. Dad came to captain's run on Friday and gave him my jersey, which was, you know, a really good moment. Nice. And then, yeah, Mum and Dad and my aunties and uncles and my partner all flew up as well. So I had a little crew there, and it was special. They came in the sheds after the game, and, you know, it'll be a 100th game that, you know, I'm going to really remember that for the rest of my career.
Yeah, I'm glad Hoops brought up about Desi. I'll call him old Harry, or Harry tight-ass Desi. Mate, have you got any stories for us about Desi, how tight he is? Mate, at Manly, he was the king, right? Seriously, he was unbelievable. He got me one day. I bought a machine, and I didn't actually pay for the machine, but Desi thought I did. Anyway,
he didn't.
The machine back. It was this grinding machine we had, which we trained at Manly with. So I said, "You can come and get it. But it's $100." So if someone come and got it, Donnie Singe come and got it. Right, it was the biggest machine of all time. And I said, "I want $100." Desi goes, "Oh, I'll get the money to you." Anyway, it took us about 6 months, and he gave my wife Monique a bag of coins, which I thought were dollars. Where she was working at the club, and I remember I said to the kids, "This guy, kids, we'll add up some money." I put my hands into the bag. It was drink tokens. Right? Typical. Yeah, sorry, Mum. I said, "Desi, you're gone." He goes, "Oh, what's up?" I said, "Mate, I'm at the bank." He goes, "The bank?" I said, "I'm at the bank. I've got these bloody drink tokens." He goes, "Oh, I gave you the wrong bag." Mate, he is the tightest ass I've ever known. Surely got a story for us.
He's still got Donnie Sims there as well. They're a little duo. He's got a little Wheel of Fortune thing for any, you know, if anyone, any misdemeanors, you got to spin the wheel and a few of the things are buying him, you know, buy him coffee for the week and clean his car and things like that. And all the little kangaroo courts, he still rigs them and he's got young blokes cleaning his car. So, no, he's pretty good, Desi. I think he's sort of calmed down a bit, which has been good for the team. So.
It must be nice having someone like that around, though. It's got a little bit of old school experience, good at running the club, all the... He doesn't sit there with all the modern buzzwords as such, but he knows how to just get a club together because you can clearly see that in the performance of the team.
Yeah, 100%. I think he just the culture. It's a weird the sort of effect that he's had on the group because he's super serious and super, you know, with his numbers and how much video we watch, and he's still you know, a really serious guy of all that sort of stuff. But he's got that soft sort of jokey side that no one really sees, and he's just, you know, connected well with the group and. He's got all the boys sort of bought into what he wants, and you know, everyone's sort of ridden us off most of the year, and we've just sort of thrived in the sort of underdog, you know, mindset.
Well, that's Curtis, Desi's been a big part of my life, actually. I met him in 94 when I got to Manly, and I walked in, I was 120 kilo, I could bench press 200 kegs, and Bozo looked at me and goes, "What have you been doing?" I said, "Oh, Bozo, I thought you want me big." He goes, "Mate, the game's changed, son. Get down to 108. I went, "Shit, I was just there." He goes, "You're training with him." I said, "Des Hasler, the little flea." Anyway, all we did was chins, dips, push-ups, but I've actually got a couple things in my gym. When we do push-ups, we call him the Desi Hasler. He's got to get the chest down on the timber. So Desi's got some great traits, and they've gone straight through the Spuds gym.
Yeah, no, he's still got a bit of that sort of strength and conditioning about him. Midway through a session, he'll just blow the whistle and have us on the line running, you know, running 40s or whatever it is, and he's screaming. So you'd tell that he would have been a pretty hectic sort of trainer back in the day.
He certainly was.
It's funny, Curtis, how, you know, Manly have had such a good year, and I think at the start of the year a lot of the so-called experts said, well, Manly have got a good side but they've got no depth, so if they get a couple of injuries they'll be gone. But you've at some point or another had every sort of major player out injured, and yet you blokes are still well and truly in the eight.
Yeah, we have, and I think a lot of that's got down to the pre-season we had. A lot of sort of work on our defence, so we built our game around our defence, and we knew if we could keep teams to a few tries, we're going to be in the game every week. And with Cherry and Turbo out, we probably won't score on as many points as we could, but we're just sort of grinding those wins. And then obviously getting them back the last couple of weeks, just the confidence in the group is just, you know, going through the roof. So it's a good feeling there at the moment. So hopefully, you know, the big three boys can get through Origin fit and healthy, and then we can sort of reassess and look at the back end of the year and set the next sort of, you know, couple goals for us.
Okay, good on you, mate. Good to catch up with you, Curtis. All the best for the remainder of the season.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Good on you, mate. Curtis Sirenin joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL. Of course, his 100th NRL game yesterday. Scored a couple of tries and was given the Triple M Mungrel Boots Man of the Match. We are live at ANZ Stadium today. There's a game kicking off at 2 o'clock. Panthers and Warriors. Panthers going for 5 in a row. We'll keep you posted with those scores, all thanks to Tyre Power. But up next, we'll talk about that Knights-Broncos game. And that's all coming up. And I call BS, the award-winning segment that's gone global, is coming up next. Hoops has got a beauty for us today as Triple M rocks the footy. Triple M NRL is live at ANZ Stadium for a Sunday afternoon. We go right across the Triple M network and we'll be on board for you this afternoon at 4 for that game between the Doggies and the Sharkies with Mark Carroll, James Triceps Hooper, Paul Kent and Maroon. It's time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
Here we go. Here's the boys. We let them out of the, we let them off the chain. They want to, something's just getting up their nose in life. They just want to bring it to the fore and it might be NRL related, it might not. Paul, you want to call BS this morning?
Yeah, I want to call this afternoon. It's probably a better one. Look, I want to call BS on this aversion, this allergy that the referees have about send-offs. Many years ago, we went through a stage where players would be sent off and the coach would walk in after the game and he'd complain that, oh, look, we lost any chance to win the game today once that guy got sent off. Well, instead of saying, well, you know what, mate, teach the bloke to tackle properly so he doesn't get sent off, or tell him not to be a thug on the field so he doesn't get sent off, we went away and we allowed the conversation to instead go down the road of, well, okay, well, we won't send the guy off anymore. So last night we saw Penny Terapo hit Jordan Rapana high. He's now been charged with a grade 2 reckless tackle. Grade 2 reckless tackle. He's looking at 3 to 4 weeks. Early plea gets him 3 weeks. It's disgraceful that this is going on in the game and we are allowing it to happen. In the old days, players were filthy about getting sent off. They did everything they could not to get sent off because they were missing match payments the following week or the week after, how many weeks are out. But now because players are on fixed incomes, there seems to be this, oh, well, okay, I'll have a couple of weeks off, I'll get over the niggly injuries and I'll come back fresh. I just think I've had a gutful of the NRL sitting back thinking that the citing process is the way to go. This is filtering through the game down to the junior levels because they're seeing players tackle certain ways and we're doing nothing to discourage it, and it stepped up a gear this week with all the concussion stuff coming out. The game's no longer got any reason whatsoever to be cowardly about this. They've got to start sending blokes off and they've got to start acting like it's a proper game again.
Okay, that's how you call BS, boys. That's and how you do it.
I tell you what I also don't like while I'm there. All these people who turn up in public places and use it as their gym.
Right. How do you... Are you directing that at me?
Well, you're part of it. Yeah. You're part of the movement.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, people want to go down the Maroubra Beach and enjoy the beach and have a bit of sunshine, a bit of surf, and some bloke is panting and sweating away and just ruining...
1-2.
...the whole ambience.
Just a second. I'll stop you there because I am a ratepayer at Randwick Council. If I want to use the beach as a gym, I'll go ahead and... As long as I'm clothed... And I am not bothering anyone else.
But you're bothering the beachgoers.
How am I bothering anyone?
Because you're sweating everywhere, you're panting, you're hearing the constant, I was about to say the constant thud of pad boxing gloves hitting pads, but that's not the case.
Mate, you should be
the
calling.
The pitter-patter.
I call BS.
It's like you hitting the pads, it's like hearing a six-month-old walk.
Mate, I call BS on... I'm down there having a workout, as any 50-something-year-old man is entitled to do.
58, admit
and
it.
And Willie Peters is down there taking my photo so he can send it to you so that you can make a mockery of me and put it in the paper. I call BS on people taking photos of people while they're down at the gym. And I pay my rates and I pay my taxes, and if I want to have a little bit of a boxing session on the beach, I will.
Anthony, I did not make a mockery of you. You made a mockery of yourself. I just revealed it.
Right, okay. Well, I want to call BS on you because ever since you put that photo of me, every second... second phone call I get is, get up on the balls of your feet. Get your hands in tight. Get your, I'll come round with
elbows
the pads. I'll come round with the pads. I'll come round and show you how it's done.
Well, look at all these free workouts you've been offered. You've knocked them all back. I'm very surprised at that.
I tell you
very
what.
Surprised at that.
I tell you what.
Or have you booked them in? Tell the truth.
No.
Tell the truth.
Not I.
You've taken up the offer. Tell the truth.
I've seen you.
Tell the truth.
No, I have seen you two, you and Hoops, working out at Mark Spud Carroll's gym, and in Fair Dinkum looks like Physical Culture Hour on Fair Star the Funship.
Oh,
and
here we go.
There's
I'm
no
talking about the Funship. I'm talking about my wife on the Funship. You can't bring that one up. I'll tell you, Maroon.
Even when you try to get it right, you get it wrong.
Why don't Kenny, you come in for a session?
I tell you, I'm going to allow him to come into a session. Yeah. I'm not going to charge you. You'll be there first thing.
Right.
Free. And I'm going to smack
him in the
head.
Put him
I'm going to smack you so hard you'd be begging me for a right, Maroon.
Boys, I don't think you... I think that you probably could. I know that, you know... But I'm talking about fitness level here, Spud. I'm at a different level than these two.
Oh, really?
I'm at a different level than these two.
Mate, I've seen bigger arms on the clock.
I don't need to test it out, Hoops. I don't need to test it out.
Why not?
Because, mate, I've got better things to do with my time than worry about what you're doing.
I've seen you blokes down at Spud Gym.
You do a set of curls, then you gossip.
You're all talk.
You do a set of triceps, then you backstab someone.
Are you still dribbling?
Yes.
Listen to you. You've seen us do the routine, have you?
No, mate. You
curls and triceps.
Do you want to call BS on
anything? But part of my thing is in life is look at people and see if it's athletic. Mate, you couldn't run through a shower curtain. Anyway, I've been waiting for my chance on this. They're calling BS. It gets under my grill so many times. I love this. It's my favourite segment, sitting at home waiting for my opportunity. This is my opportunity. But, mate, mine's the price of fuel. How it can go up 10 cents, but 40 cents a litre, especially on weekends, mate. So it kills me when I've got to go and feed up my beast from Sea Doo Beaches. Is that a wrap?
Yep.
My GTX 300, my favourite. My favourite piece of equipment.
You're fishing for one of those.
There you go. Mate, $1.89, I paid a litre for 98 the other day,
yeah.
And I'm calling BS on that. I know we're all
$1.89. Car people here. It goes during the middle of the week then.
I haven't got time. I've got to work, man. I'm trying to make money at Spud's gym.
How do you get to work?
I understand. Well, we're not talking about cars.
You've got to put the trailer in the jet ski on the back.
I know you drive a little Mustang there. I've got the Audi, but I think, Maroon, you're after another new car.
No, I'm not. No, don't stop.
Conversations that are supposed to stay off air. Come on, let's go. Look at him.
Listen to me. I know you're a holding man. I'm going to go to Sutton's for you. I know the boss
of
Sutton's. Ryan Sutton is actually his birthday. Lace. Happy birthday, Ryan. He's one of my really good clients. If you start looking after me a little bit better, you know what we're saying?
Yes, no. I don't want anything for free. I don't want anything to do with your clients.
It won't be for free, mate.
He's already called him. I promise you.
No,
he's already he got his number off Hoops. He's already called him.
This is what
look, he's the best.
Show us
how it works.
What are we after? What car we want? We want one of the new
Camaros. I don't want anything.
He wants
the
Camaro.
He's already asked.
You see the ad. See, the thing is with you blokes, right? What you got to realise is, right, what we talk about off air is stuff going on in our personal life.
Is that the same as off the record?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So don't signal the ad.
You've got one, have you? Let's try and keep it about what's on the show. If we can, Anthony.
And not free Camaros.
Okay. Well, seeing as how you're one of the stars of the show.
Oh, here we go.
I need to leap to the defence of two champion people in the game of rugby league, Willie Peters and Sean Timmins.
Right.
What you've said about them today is slanderous and unfounded and unfair. And for those of us who missed the Little Bay Bugle, it was on the front page and it was also in Kenty's column.
Yes.
The picture of Anthony where he was mistaken for an elderly lady who was about to have her bag snatched up when in fact Anthony was about to hit the pads with Scott Geddes down at Maroubra Beach.
Yeah.
The boys at Triple M have put together a special tribute for you today, Maroon. So here's a little I Call BS special tribute to you.
No, I'm not.
I've watched enough footy to know a good football player. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe I'm a talent scout. What, you know more about it than me, do you? Yeah, of course you, you
no,
do.
I don't. No,
you
I
do.
Don't.
But it doesn't mean I can't have an opinion on a player. Do you see me? Do I ever? Am I ever outspoken on a player's ability? No,
yes.
I'm not.
Yes.
All I said was I saw the guy play when he was a kid, and he was very good as a kid. That's all I said.
Well,
I have never outspoken about
Clive?
The kid or any player's ability when I'm surrounded by footballers. So, Gordon, you know what you can do? You can get stuffed. That's what you can do.
So, we've just had Stacey Jones on. Hasn't he stacked on the kilos? He looks like he's been on the King Browns. He is fair dinkum stacked it on. If you didn't know who he was, you wouldn't recognise him.
Leave him alone.
No,
he's a legend.
I know he is, but fair dinkum. I mean, he's working in an NRL club. Get into the gym yourself.
And you watch these palookas. You've heard it here first, Strawny. These knuckleheads I work with, Paul Kent, James Cooper, Ryan Girdler, Gordon Tallis, they'll raise this issue in 3 weeks like they're the first ones that have thought of it. And here are you and I talking about it. It's like, you wouldn't take a brand new Ferrari out onto a dirt track. You know, it's the point we're trying to make here. If the surface isn't good enough for the players shouldn't be out there.
The other thing I wanted to say, boys, we go everywhere to call the footy. We go to Penrith. They give us sandwiches and snacks and beautiful food. We go to Parramatta. We get the same. They come here to the Roosters. There's no food. They've given us all a bottle of water like we're prisoners.
For sure.
Hey, listen, if it's any problem, Roosters, I tell you what, send me the bill for the water. I don't want to put you out. So I'm so sorry we asked for water. Just send me the bill and I'll take care of it. Good Lord. Don't even bring us a packet of anything. What's that? Bring us a couple of coasters. We'll eat those.
Can that please?
Oh, that was gold medal.
You know what the best part about that is? You sat there and stitched up Hoops saying he's got a great VS card. You had no idea. You just wanted to drop him in it, and he had that sitting there waiting for you.
Can we just take some time to talk a little bit of rugby league? Is that
sure?
Is that going to be a problem for you, Hoops?
Well, that sounds like a problem for you.
Take a break, and we'll come back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's, this is Triple M Footy. 6 men in Australia take their life every single day, and many men won't talk about how they're feeling. So, on Monday, July 1, Triple M's not talking, so you can. Start a conversation about how you're feeling, or with someone you reckon needs to talk, because talking to someone about suicide could be the most important conversation you'll ever have. Learn how at beyondblue.org.au, or call Lifeline on 13 11 14. No shows, no news, no ads, no traffic updates. Monday, July 1 is No Talk Day on Triple M.
All Coles brand fresh chicken is raised on an RSPCA approved farm.
So you can enjoy delicious Coles brand 100% Aussie RSPCA approved whole chicken. Just $4.50 a kilo every day.
Good things are happening at Coles.
Want more for less this end of financial year? Then why not buy an Optus SIM only plan with a massive 100 gigs of data for just $50 a month? That's a bonus 20 gigs on us, letting you stream your favourite shows to your heart's content. It's an end of financial year offer you won't want to miss. Run into your nearest Optus store today. Minimum cost $600 over 12 months. New and recontracts only. Cancellation fees apply. Offer ends 30 June 2019.
The best things in life are free. Like free time to do the shopping and free delivery on eBay with eBay Plus. As an eBay Plus member, you get free delivery on millions of eBay Plus items. So you can stock up on your favourite bubbles from First Choice Liquor, treat yourself at Maya, get everything you need for the kids at Target, and shop for your fur baby's food and treats at Pet Barn. All with free delivery and with double flyby points. Start your 30-day eBay Plus free trial today and get shopping on eBay.
Total Tools' massive end of financial year sale ends today. Only at Total Tools can you score a free battery with all power tool kits over $399. We've got the best deals on the world's biggest power tool brands. Total Tools is your only destination this end of financial year. We won't be beaten on any deal or promotion. Hurry! Total Tools' massive end of financial year sale ends today. T's and C's apply.
Say adios, au revoir and sayonara to going over your travel budget.
Cash Passport is the smarter way to carry your travel money. Carry less cash and pay zero foreign transaction fees when you lock in your exchange rates on one of 10 foreign currencies on Cash Passport. And tap or swipe in store everywhere MasterCard is accepted. Pick up your Cash Passport at participating outlets. Find your nearest outlet or apply online in minutes at cashpassport.com.au. T's and C's apply. Fees and charges may also apply. Refer to the PDS.
Best Buys. The night before Origin 3. Watch Blues, Johns, Gaia and Gallen take on Maroons, Lockyer, Langer, Vorton and Webke. Tuesday, July 9 at The Star. Tickets at originlegends.com.
Best Buys. Bye-bye.
For generations, real musicians have been playing their instruments and crafting rock songs that stand the test of time. They've become rock's greatest hits. Triple M plays all of them. Just rock's greatest hits, made by real musos without any of that pop garbage. That's Triple M.
For McDonald's. Triple M footy. Let's
go! And welcome back to ANZ Stadium, and thank you very much to all the people that have tweeted in and emailed in support of me. They're just having a little bit of fun, but don't worry. And thank you. All, right across the east coast of Australia, people have emailed in, Maroon, stand up for yourself. Why don't you take it to HR? What's doing? But look, it's all in the name of good fun. So
overwhelming, the support, Anthony.
It has.
But
it really
I've got
has.
To say, people, you're a personality.
And even through
they're
the week,
they're all on your side. People love you.
I respond to all the correspondence that comes across my desk at the office, and people supporting me saying, why do they just gang up on you like that? At least if it was, you know, 2-on-2 or 1-on-1, but 3 or 4 on you, and then the pretty boy Ryan Girdler gets here at 2 o'clock, and then he has it, then he puts the slipper in while I've been softened up by Paul Kent, you know. So, look, I just battle on. It's all about taking it one day at a time. And
you're the Ray Price of radio, aren't you? You just keep climbing to the
Mr. Perpetuation.
Just gets up every time.
Speaking of people that are doing it tough, though, the Brisbane Broncos were beaten yesterday by the Knights, 26 points to 12. And for the Broncos there, Hoops, there was a shimmer of light there a few weeks back. We thought, well, maybe they're going to find something this year. But it really has been a disappointing year for the Broncos, and they seem to be shedding a lot of players.
Yeah, there's no two ways about it. They've won 5 games and lost 9. That's not acceptable by the Brisbane Broncos standards. They're a flagship club. They obviously made the big decision at the back end of last year to sack Wayne Bennett, move him on and go and sign the Dally M Coach of the Year from last season, Anthony Seibold, who was at your club, Maroon South Sydney, and bring him up to Red Hill. He has now made a number of significant changes around the roster, moved a lot of players on. And for whatever reason, it's not happening for them on the field. Last night was the last roll of the dice. He made the big call, switching Anthony Milford to fullback and playing Darius Boyd at 5'8", trying to spark the side. I thought Boyd in the, I thought Milford in the second half was one of the Broncos' best players. Tried his butt off, but just couldn't quite get things cracking. But yeah, it doesn't look as though it's going to end well for the Broncos this season.
No, it's not going to be a good year. But look, I agree with moving Boyd to 5'8 last night. I thought that he needs to... He's played poorly this season. He needs to get himself re-familiar with contact. Too often this year, and it's been pointed out... Look, people in the grandstands are pointing it out. Certainly opposition teams are noticing it. When teams are making breaks, he's not putting his body into any position to make a collision. He's trying to finesse his way out. He's trying to be cute by going for the intercepts and often left just grasping at air. So it's clear that he's, for whatever reason, we've heard all summer how good he's been physically, in what shape he is, how he's been the best he's been for years. But for whatever reason, he's felt like he's out of, his body's got some fragility to it or something like that, so he's avoiding contact. So the move by Seibold to put him at 5'8 was a strong move to basically get him right and give him no choice but to get some contact back. And hopefully once he did that, he could go back to playing fullback again. It's a bit like when a racehorse trainer gets the horse over the jumps and gets him going tough again and gets him sort of getting ready for the grind. That's what Seibold's trying to do with Darius Boyd. So that's a first step in that direction. As far as players leaving the club, the big thing there is that they've got the, they came out last week. They're $1 million over the salary cap. Like, how the Broncos got themselves in that position?
What?
They were $1 million over. So they've had to offload talent. That's why they had to get rid of the likes of Josh McGuire and Kahu, who are players who are on good money. When Seibold got to the club, he had Jaden Sua. Basically, what he does in his office, if you've ever been in there, is he's got a depth chart, and he has every player in order. He has his edge back rows, and he has them numbered one down to whatever it is, six, seven, eight, however many he's got there. He's got his halves numbered, and it's a depth chart. That's where you sit on the depth chart. And I was there earlier in the year, and I said to him, I said, what's, explain this to me. He told me, took me through it, and where he's judged the players. I said, how does that sit with some of the players when they come in? They see themselves as a fifth-ranked middle forward, for example.
Yeah.
And he said, well, mate, that's up to them to answer that. That's them. It's on the player. If you've got to get in front of the guys who are above you. So Jaden Sua began the season high up on the depth chart, and has now got fallen down to fourth on the depth chart.
Well, he's off the depth chart. He's at Redford.
But that's why.
He's at the Bunny.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why, Hoops, because they've got to offload money. They need to sign Pangai and they need to sign Lodge. And I've heard that that's imminent with both players.
Yeah, it is. But I'm just going back to what you said earlier, that they're $1 million over the cap. Well, surely the NRL wouldn't have allowed them to play if they were
$1 million over the cap, but that's just a poorly managed cap. Somebody up there needs to be accountable for that. But to put yourself in a position where you look at your roster and think, hang on, we've got to get rid of $1 million worth here because we've got players over. That's a bad way to be.
Yeah, I remember the interview you did, Kenny, on Seibold. I think it was unbelievable. I think he's too smart for this side. He's gone over there. He's done his degrees and everything, but I'm sick of hearing saying, oh, they're the youngest on paper. Well, okay, sure, they're the youngest on paper, but you're given an opportunity to play first grade. You dream about playing first grade. I don't see enough effort. It all comes down to effort, but you're talking about Darius Boyd. A couple of defensive errors. He had lead feet. He just didn't move. He had concrete feet. Now they've brought him in a little bit closer to the action. Hopefully, as you said, Kenny, a bit of contact, but he tried to show a couple of big hits off from kickoffs of all things coming from the side to try and be a team leader. So I just think it can only be better for the Broncos for him to be at 5'8".
Darius has been a champion player for a hell of a long time, and it's always dangerous when you knock or criticise champion players. And he's won Clive Churchill medals. He's won two premierships. He's played 23 games for Queensland. He's played a hell of a lot of test matches for Australia. But watching him last night, Kenty, there was a couple of plays that really stood out. One was that kickoff that was guaranteed to be going out on the full.
Yeah.
It was going to hit the back fence, and and for whatever reason. And I think it's probably just a little bit indicative of, you know, Darius has obviously got a lot going on. He wants to be leading that club. He wants to be setting the example. He wants to be pulling them out of the hole that they're in at the moment. But in that split-second moment, he obviously made a bad decision. And as a result, he gives away a penalty to the Knights in front. And then again, with the game in the balance and on the line, and the Knights make the break down their right edge, you know, he comes up with some poor reads. But the real telling statistic was one run for 7 metres in the whole game. He had that in the first half. He didn't touch the ball for a run in the second half.
Yeah, that's concerning. And that, look, it's an immediate issue for the Broncos, and it's a long-term issue because he's got two seasons after this. The second one is an option in his favour.
Yeah. Yep.
So, now, look, there's no doubt he'd be taking that up. If the Broncos, and this is going to be the tough one, but the Broncos, to make the tough call, they should really try and ship him off to England now. Try and get
to, or just have a conversation to see where he's at, see, you know, what he wants to achieve, and to try and work out a solution that's best for the club and best for the player as
Greg
well.
Greg Inglis retirement
100%, plans. 100%.
Mm. They all
could,
work.
You know, it could
sounds
end
like
up
a plan
in that style of scenario.
What? How many more players, though, do you think? Obviously, they're a work in progress, Spud, but looking into next year, do you think, what sort of players do they need to bring in?
At the start of the year, Maroon, at the start of the year, you know, Joey Johns and a number of other experts tipped the Broncos to either win a premiership or certainly finish in the top four. And for them to be sitting where they are now, it's just completely unacceptable. Who do they bring in? I don't know, Spud. Who do they bring in?
There's no one to bring in. The Broncos don't bring in. They've got to just start pulling their finger out and start playing footy. It's an effort thing for the Broncos. They're getting out enthused. 9 out of 10 weeks, they're getting out enthused by the opposition. And when you've that's how you explain the lack of effort when you've got talent on the side. They've got good players. Their problems are their effort. And
I would agree. Exactly. What about Pangai Junior? When he came out the line in the second game, he smacked Tomalolo.
Hasn't been spotted off since. Nobby since.
But why would there be a problem with effort? Where is the issue if there's a problem with effort?
Well, it's an emotional thing, effort. So that's... Look, there's certain players are probably out of sorts when there's uncertainty around the roster, when there's players coming and going. That all affects the emotional welfare. There is, I don't want to say there's problems within the club, but certainly there's some teething problems with the way the new coaches come in with new ideas. Wayne Bennett was very much a give the players a cuddle, make them feel happy, and then go out and they'll play for you. Seibold's a far more technical type of coach. He likes to address it a different way. They're not getting the cuddles that they're used to. I think a lot of the Broncos players have got to man up a little bit. They've got to start being adults. I think, you know, earlier this year, Gordon Tallis had a crack at them where he said they walk around like they're big shots and they've won nothing. And they haven't, you know, where they are, the fragility of the Broncos is they haven't responded to that. They've just reinforced it.
Gordon talks about, I love the way Gordon talks. His passion is unbelievable, but he talks about effort all the time. But things he says it out loud. I don't see guys finishing the game with bruises.
Mm.
They ain't putting their body on long enough.
No, you're right. And Pangai, for everybody to be talking about Pangai, what a player he is, and we have to go back to round two to talk about his performance.
Mm.
And after round two, everyone said, wow, what a player. This guy's a wrecking machine. And a few astute judges said straight away, well, look, let's just see how consistent he is, because that's a big part of the NRL. Well, as we said earlier, he hasn't been spotted since. He's had the odd good moment in a game, but he hasn't had a 7 or an 8 out of 10 game since. And this is when... At that point, everybody was saying, wow, he's going to be worth $1 million a year like Tomalolo is. Yeah.
Well, at the start of the year, he was being talked about as a potential State of Origin player, and I know that the New South Wales Blues saw it as a real coup, that he had agreed that if he was selected, he was going to make himself available to play for New South Wales as opposed to representing Tonga. He then switched his stance, most likely when he read the tea leaves that he wasn't going to be selected for New South Wales, and so ultimately... represented Tonga. But back to your point earlier, Kenny, about the fact that the Broncos are going to announce the signings of Matt Lodge and Tevita Pangai Jr., I think, over the course of the next week. Mm. And they are good signings for the club. But given the way that Pangai Jr. is playing at the moment, does he justify the long-term multi-million dollar deal?
Where is... Yeah, I don't think he does, Hoops. No. The problem for the Broncos is...
Where else can they go?
Well, he's one you can't let go.
Yeah.
Because once you get him right, and I think there's every... Look, he's still young, he's still learning, and there's every chance he will come into his own. But they've got to sign him. They can't let him go, but they've got to find the fire in him. I thought it was interesting. You see last night after the game when it ended, that bit of a scuffle he pushed.
Yeah.
And went on with it after the game.
Who was that he pushed?
I couldn't see because he came off the bench. Whoever finished on the bench, he still had his robe on. But I thought, well, that's a bit ordinary.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL. This is ANZ Stadium, the venue today. 4 o'clock kickoff for the Sharks and the Doggies. And 2 o'clock kickoff for Penrith and the Warriors. We'll give you score updates for that game. And, of course, call that Doggies-Sharkies game for you. With Paul Kent, James Hooper, Mark Carroll and Maroon Ryan Girdler joins us shortly too as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M footy.
Let's go!
For Ream Hot Water.
Yes, all thanks to Ream Hot Water and McDonald's. Two McDonald's bought in a happy meal for Paul Kent. You know he can't have that. He can't have a happy meal. He'll have to wait to get home. Paul can't have a happy meal. Look, CTE is the discussion in rugby league at the moment. What does it stand for? It stands for chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Encephalopathy.
Yeah, was what it stands for.
Yeah, which is inflammation of the brain.
Right. And so now let's discuss that. Rugby league legend Peter Sterling was on Saturday Triple M NRL yesterday. He said this.
My decision is based on the fact that I will be an organ donor, and I hope that will help people. And if I can donate, you know, my brain that they can use in whatever they're going to do and that can help, that's fantastic. If it doesn't, then there's no harm done as well. What I'm looking at is if you are looking for a pattern involved in something or a lack of a pattern, hopefully, then the more research you have and the more you have at your disposal to try and get to those decisions is going to help.
All right, so there it is. Peter Sterling, if you don't know the news yet, has donated his brain to research in this area. Following that news, Wendell said he'd donate his brain, but they rejected it. They said, your brain. But what are your thoughts on all this, Paul Kent?
Oh, look, I think it's the biggest issue facing the game at the moment, because it's been a big issue in America where the NFL have gone through this. There was a $1 billion compensation payout because the NFL, much like the tobacco industry, went into denial and refused to acknowledge the medical evidence. It's since been proven to be to have foundations. And what's happened in the NFL is there's been a marked drop-off in junior players playing what they call over there Pop Warner football, and essentially the whole nursery of NFL players has reduced because concerned parents don't want to put their children in that area. Now, this is something that is going to affect rugby league. The other part that's going to affect rugby league is at some point the insurance companies, who are already pricing sports so heavily these days, the insurance companies are going to sit there and they're going to say, okay, well, at what point does CTE begin to affect these guys? Is it as a 15-year-old? Is it as a 10-year-old? When is it? And whenever the experts can give any evidence, and it'll be very young, I can tell you, I believe that, because you're never too young to be knocked unconscious. But when that comes into it, then suddenly the insurance policies are expected to skyrocket. I already know that there's been discussions around the game about that and how they deal with that, and it's a real concern. The game is going to have to, at some point, put steps in place so when the insurance companies start to say, well, okay, you can play rugby league, but it's going to cost you $4,000 to play, because that's what we'll charge you in insurance. So the NRL needs to put things in place to be able to say to the insurance companies, it's not that dangerous.
Well, we had this discussion a few years ago, and from that day, I sensed that you thought that perhaps the NRL was a little bit more on the front foot than perhaps the NFL was.
They are. They're very much in front of where the NFL was. They've acknowledged the medical evidence that we've seen so far. So whereas, as I said earlier, the NFL went into denial, the NRL has been very proactive in how they've handled this. I think they've done a terrific job. I don't think they've finished the job. There are a couple of things have got to happen. We've got to ask ourselves whether we're moving quickly enough to where we need to go to, and we're also got to ask whether we're moving in the right direction of where we need to be. And they're two things that really need to be thought out, and that has to happen at many different levels. In the game, it has to happen at NRL level. But let's remember, for all these elite players who are concerned about whether they've got concussion syndrome and concerned about the welfare of their brain, and I've spoken to Spud about it, your brain is not... It doesn't care whether you're an elite NRL player or whether you're a bush footballer. A concussion is a concussion. It's got your brain doesn't have a talent. It doesn't have a bias towards talent. So this is something that its impact will spread right across the game.
Yeah, I got a phone call off Phil Rothfield, and he wrote a story on this yesterday. I got a phone call from my mother. Oh, Mark, what's wrong? Because I was on the front page, Brains Trust. She thought there was something wrong with me. But I'll also give my brain to science if they want to have a look, if they can find it in there. But I just think, regards CTE, that movie, Kenny, I just thought if it goes through here in our country with the NRL, my thing is to the NRL to say, if there's any player in any grade that has played our great game and has made the name of what rugby league is, and they've got a concern, they should go and get a test, but the league should pay for it. Some guys have got no money these days. Give them coverage to go at least clear their mind, saying I'm okay.
Well, look, that's true, Spud. But the big problem with CTE is you actually can't detect it until they get your brain on a table and inject dye into it.
Right.
So you need to be dead. They can have symptoms of it, and they can suspect it's there, but you can't prove it's there. This is the problem. You can't prove it's there until you've got the cadaver. You like that, Anthony? You know what the cadaver is?
I thought it was like Lady Cadaver.
Yeah, something like that. But until you've got the body there and you can actually put it in a petri dish and inject it with dye, it won't show whether you've got CTE in your brain. And CTE is basically the buildup of a protein called tau, and it deposits in your brain and it interrupts the neural pathways through your brain. So therefore, it brings on early dementia, it can bring on early depression and all sorts of signs, Alzheimer's, all those indications which affect the quality of your life. So that's why it's such a major concern for the game. Because we can't put you under an X-ray or give you a CT, a CAT scan or whatever and say, yes, you've got this, we've got to take preventative measures. So that's why the game has got to be on the front foot. The game has got to do everything it can now. And the danger is if it goes too far down the safety track, does it then affect
product,
the product and what people know about rugby league? But look, that can't be a consideration for the NRL. They have to make it safe, particularly at junior level. We're seeing in junior football, a lot of Queensland Rugby League, for example, have just begun a program in southeast Queensland where kids at under six age, and this is what we've got to get past, the prejudice. Kids under six age, rather than play tackle footy, they don't allow them to play tackle footy. They play tag footy. So they still learn all the same skills, but they don't have the collision at 6 years old. And they'll learn to tackle after that. Now, already parents in southeast Queensland have been blowing up about that. My kid wants to tackle. He wants to play like the big kids do. We need to teach these kids to tackle. It's never too young. A mother who was a coach of one of the teams rang Talkback Radio and complained that she was teaching her four-year-olds how to tackle. Let's think of the long-term future here. We need to have safe alternatives to bring people to the game. No mother, no father for that instance. I don't have a son, but I would be very cautious about saying to my 12-year-old son now, mate, go and play footy if I saw him getting knocked out.
Well, I've been in that situation, Kenny. I look back now, I'm thinking, Mum and Dad watching me on the ground getting up, but that was when I was playing first grade. But as a young kid, I had a few whacks, but for confidence, I stayed wearing a headgear. Yeah. And I wore that into my first grade career. But I just think, even any young kid out there, for any parents, why can't we just go and have all these headgears and give it to every kid, right? Make them look cool. The best player in the world is wearing one. That's Ponga. JT, we used to wear a headgear. Make it looking cool. Change all different colours. The kids want to wear it. Is it going to protect them? Is it going to give them more confidence regards that?
Well, look, that's an interesting one. There's the counter argument is one that they have more self-confidence, which then gives them more confidence to put their head in a position that they wouldn't if they didn't have it, which then could result in concussion. In boxing, it's been shown that wear headgear doesn't really reduce concussions. And the obvious example is the NFL, where they wear actually crash helmets made from hard fiberglass, and the concussions are still massive there because it gives the players a false sense of security, and they put themselves in a position where you get hit. In boxing, headgear is worn not to save a concussion in sparring. It's worn to stop you being cut in sparring. That was the original purpose of headgear. This myth that the medical authority have got through about all, and they're the reason all amateurs were wearing headgear is because there's this idea, oh, it'll save concussions. It doesn't actually save concussions.
Yeah.
And anyone that knows anything about the sport knows that. So it's a concern. What we have to do is we just have to start bringing down high tackles, and we have to start trying to bring down the impact in the tackles.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL. We'll catch you on NRL 360 tomorrow night, mate, and read all about it in the telly.
Yes, and I'll read all about you in the telly.
Good on you, Paul Kent. Always good to catch up with you, old mate, Mark Carroll, and so too Hoops. And we'll catch up with Ryan Girdler, who joins us next as well. About to kick off Penrith and the Warriors. We'll come back with any score updates there too as Triple M rocks the footy.